The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I'm Peter Christian. That is Mr. Nick Christensen over there. Good morning, Mr. Nick.
Good morning.
All right. So a full slate of things that are going on here today. We have a special guest coming up on the phone here in just a few minutes. Kirsten Basler is going to be joining us from the U.S. Department of Education. And we'll be talking about, she's the Assistant Secretary for Elementary and Secondary Education. So lots of good things going on there. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be talking with Art Wittick. And he's the chair of the Montana Republican Party. He's going to be on with us from 9 to 10. So, but right now, we are in the next few minutes. We're expecting a call from Kirsten to talk about what's going on with the U.S. Department of Education, and specifically for elementary and secondary education, as we're, after all, we're on the cusp of a brand new school year.
Yeah, as back to school kind of gets underway, she's going to talk about what parents, students, and local leaders can expect to be different this school year thanks to the Trump administration's reforms. She wants to talk about those, including the historic education freedom tax credit, parental rights, and more. We'll probably start with the education freedom tax credit first, because our state's already among those that have opted into the program, and contributions are eligible for the credit beginning January 2027, so not too long from now. So we'll talk about that. Like you said, parental rights, academic performance. She'll only be on for a couple segments, so we will take calls as well if we get them in, but we'll probably try to cover these first before we do, so just to be prepared for that.
You bet. And then and then we'll have open phones.
Yeah, from 8:30 to 9, we'll kick around open phones. So if you're hoping to call with something, save it for that half hour. And then Art Wittick, who's normally just on for a half hour, I got him booked for the full hour here election season, because it seems like every time we have him on, we always get a lot of calls and some people aren't able to ask their questions. And so I talked to Art and said, hey, I think there's enough to talk about here for a full hour, obviously, with all the kind of elections ramping up. So we'll do a full hour with him. So save your questions for that as well.
Now, I did find out doing a little research that Art is the only Republican senator in Missoula County. So that's pretty interesting. So it's good to know. He must feel like the Lone Ranger sometimes. Anyway,
Is he still in Missoula? I don't know. We'll have to ask him. But
anyway, but he did replace Don Couchman as a Republican Party chair. So
he's been in that role, I think, a little over a year now. But we'll talk to him at 9 and clarify all that. But real quick, in this minute that we have left, I was just going to say that the Sand Creek Fire in Beaverhead County, which is obviously the state's largest, we finally reached some containment. It's at 7% now, but the size of the fire has basically been the same the past couple of days. It's at 31,000 acres. Firefighters are continuing to build direct hand line along the northern area of the fire on Price Creek to protect the campground and some private properties there. They're also working to use rock and other natural barriers to anchor the southeast corner of the fire to keep the blaze from spreading into Clark Creek and beyond. So good to see some containment there, and we'll have some updates on some other fires if we need it during the open phone segment from 8:30 to 9, but Kirsten Basler should be calling any minute.
You bet, man. We're looking forward to that. And of course, we're up about 30 seconds away from a commercial break. Is hopefully by the time that's over, we'll have Kirsten on the phone representing the U.S. Department of Education. She's the Assistant Secretary for Elementary and Secondary Education, which is big because we're just days away from school starting. And so I know you'll have questions for her, and especially from a national level. She's going to be speaking with us from her perspective, and we're looking forward to that. So the phone lines will be open. If you have a question for Kirsten, please feel free to give us a call at 721-1290. We're coming right back after this time out. Montana Talks, the Montana Talks Radio Network. TalkBack is sponsored.
Patchy smoke pretty much all day Thursday. If we get enough sun, highs will likely top 90 and could reach the mid-90s in some locations. Calm winds won't do much to clear out the haze. Repeat that forecast, perhaps with a little less smoke on Friday, before an incoming disturbance brings increasing clouds in the late afternoon and evening Friday, overnight lows in the 50s. Mostly cloudy Saturday with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. A cold front pushing highs back into the low 80s on Sunday with sun lasting into the new week. That's your Town Square forecast.
Superintendent, I understand, Kirsten, in North Dakota for 13 years. So you have a vast amount of experience in this field.
I do. I'm so proud to be from North Dakota, so proud to be from the Upper Great Plains and in Western United States, as you all are in Montana. And it was such an honor for me to be the elected state superintendent, as you said, for 13 years. Four different election cycles had me traversing from east to west and really getting to know the people. And when President Trump asked me to serve at this level and nominated me, and then the Senate confirmed me last summer, I was so honored to take some Upper Great Plains and Western North Dakota common sense out to the Department of Education and help them with the mission of reducing that federal footprint and returning education where it should be to those back in the states, and then with the states returning it back to the local communities, because you all know your children best. We certainly don't out in D.C.
Now, one thing I know you wanted to speak about specifically was the Education Freedom Tax Credit. So if you could describe that and how it's going to benefit especially Montana and specifically Missoula parents and children.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much, because this is a topic that hasn't gotten a lot of attention. You know, the media is so hung up on so many other things, you know, that are, you know, unrelated, the interagency agreements, and not many people, too few people are talking about this great opportunity for our families to have more choices, and most importantly, our students to have more opportunities. For far too long, our education system has prioritized adults and the bureaucracy that makes them comfortable over the students that it's designed to serve. Education only exists, and funding from taxpayers only exists in education to ensure that our children are receiving the education, the opportunities that they deserve to become great citizens and live the American dream. So what this American, or this Education Freedom Tax Credit is, it was part of the big, beautiful bill last summer when Congress passed it, and it is going to allow a taxpayer in states that have opted in to contribute to a scholarship granting organization, and it's dollar for dollar. So, and you get your tax bill, and let's say your tax bill to the federal government is $3,400, and you donate up to $1,700 to a scholarship granting organization in your state, you get a dollar for dollar, $1,700 discount. Like, not even, like, dollar for dollar, you cut $1,700 off of that $3,400 tax bill, and you only owe the federal government $1,700. And so that scholarship granting organization can then, in turn, provide scholarships to students in your state that for private tuition, but also for Missoula and for the outlying communities around Missoula that might not have a private school opportunity. The special thing about this is this will benefit public school students also that may want to take some courses that are advanced courses and their family doesn't have the funding to pay for it. Or let's say they want to take a welding course in CTE and that the equipment for welding is beyond that family's reach. And at this point, those scholarship granting organizations can pay for the welding equipment, can pay for the adult advanced courses in college for our students in high school. And fortunately, Montana is a state that opted in, which means that the scholarships can go to students within Montana. Sadly, not all states, governors, or legislatures have opted them in. That doesn't mean that citizens in that state can't contribute to a scholarship granting organization in Montana or in North Dakota or in Wyoming. And they will get the break on their federal tax bill, but sadly, some students in some of our states will not be able to benefit of it because of politics that are being played. Yeah. But gratefully, Montana opted in.
Well, I understand the critics are worrying that school choice programs might actually take money away or students away from traditional public schools. And that's been a fear for quite a while. And so what's your response to that?
So, again, this Education Freedom Tax Credit is absolutely has nothing to do with the funding formula. The public school systems will still receive all of their funding that they have been receiving from both the federal government and state government and local taxes. And so this scholarship opportunity takes $0 away from the funding formula, and it actually is providing another opportunity for public school students to, as I said, benefit from after-school tutoring, maybe some foreign language courses, maybe take a course that isn't available in their local public school, but they can take it online. It is opening up opportunities for both public and non-public students without taking a single penny away from the public support and funding for our public schools.
Well, let's talk about parental rights a little bit, because I sent my kids to school, and I had good conversations with you know, the teachers and the administration. So let's talk about parental rights and our kids in school as they begin here in the next week or so, a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. You know, for the 24 plus years that I spent in an education role with a local school district, then the 13 years that I spent as a state superintendent, and now the last year and a half with the administration at the federal level, one thing has always been very, very, very clear to me, and there is non-negotiable. A family, parents are a child's first and most influential teacher. And when that child reaches school age, thus begins a partnership with the school system, whether it be private or public school system. That partnership, and a strong partnership, is what benefits our children the most. And there shouldn't be an argument about which adult has more authority or which adult should have privacy. That partnership exists and should exist to ensure that our children are receiving what they need. In all of those years, I never felt or expected a level of privacy as a public school K through 12 teacher, and I don't think we should. There is nothing good that comes from that, and the adults should be honoring what is best for children and entering those school years with the partnership. I'm going to add a little personal note. My first granddaughter, it's her first day of kindergarten in western North Dakota, so right along the eastern Montana border. And I'm really excited about that, but I am expecting that her mom and her dad, my son and daughter-in-law, have every right to knowing what's going on in her journey, her educational journey, and that's what parents should be expecting.
Well, Kirsten, we're coming up against a commercial break here, and the phone lines are open. If you have a quick question for Kirsten Baszler, give us a call, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Talk back statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
In a world of complicated...
Hey, welcome back to Talk Back. Good to have you along this morning. And we have just precious few moments left with Kirsten Baszler. She's the Assistant Secretary for Elementary and Secondary Education with the U.S. Department of Education. And Kirsten, again, welcome and thank you for being with us today. One thing that we hear a lot about here in our local school districts is the parents and the effect that parents can have cooperation between administration and parents in helping their kids be educated.
Yes, for all of my years in education, whether it would be in a local school district in North Dakota or 13 years as a state superintendent and now here at the U.S. Department of Education, one thing has been very clear to me, that parental involvement is so critical to a child's success. And for so many years, we've been talking about high-impact tutoring and tutoring that, you know, can happen after school time. But what is being left on the table far too often is the cooperation and the input and the partnership that can happen with parents. Parents are eager to help their child learn how to read, eager to help their child learn how to do math better and think about equations and proportions and all sorts of things. families really are eager. So it really is up to the school district and the education system to figure out how to harness that really untapped potential that is being left on the table. And that is where partnership can really make a difference for a child's future.
Well, are there other areas where you think traditional public schools are doing a very good job and what other schools can learn from them?
There truly are. The Secretary McMahon is going on a 50-state Returning Education of the States tour, and they're seeing so many great opportunities. Well, even in Montana, with the signing on of this CTE bill and investing in CTE, bringing that down to middle schools, I've seen so many examples of communities, parents that are involved in an occupation coming in and partnering with these exploration of what different careers are out there. I've seen game nights where school districts are hosting game nights for parents to come in with their children and play board games. Board games are a fantastic way to teach numeracy. You think about Yahtzee or you think about matching games. Those are all numeracy basic math skills. There's reading nights. There's, you know, so many like technology and robotic nights, bringing them in. But even if a parent can't come in or a family member can't come in, and I tend to say family members because sometimes it's a grandma or a grandpa or an aunt or an uncle or somebody that was coming in. So we don't want to exclude any of those people, bringing all those people on. But we've seen great examples of very explicit, this is what we're working on today. We're working on the letter S in reading. And these are the, you know, vowel, consonant, vowel type of patterns. You send notes like that home. There are so many ideas, like when parents are walking in grocery stores and they're seeing signs around. Parents just need to know quick little tips. And we are seeing that across the nation.
Now,
and really, getting to know a child is also very important.
You bet. I think everyone wants their child to be a better reader, better at math, whatever. And the classroom is where all that happens. But a lot of it also happens at home.
Sure does. It sure does. That is where it gets reinforced. And when children love their teachers, right? Especially elementary, middle school, they are just in awe. And so even high school students have this tremendous amount of respect for their teachers, but they have 10 times that amount of respect for their grandfather or their grandmother or their mother or their father. So when a teacher is spending 6 hours a day telling them that reading is important, they come home and for the remaining 4 or 5 hours a day, if they are talking about things as they're working on a tractor or they are trying to figure out, you know, how to, you know, build onto their porch or re-roof re-shingle their roof. There are so many lessons that happen in day-to-day life where families are connected to the school and feel connected. The reinforcement that can happen day in and day out, that's where the real learning happens.
And parents want to know, will my child be a better reader? Will they actually be better at math, be able to do those specific skills and be better prepared to enter adulthood when the time comes?
That is the whole mission, to create responsible, productive citizens so we are able to govern ourselves. And you talked about parents want to know. We've got to be better, and we're working hard helping states because, again, the federal government is not going to be doing these things. States own their priorities. They know what they should be setting their priorities. And for far too long, there were too many administrations that came back and told us what we needed to work on. And that, as a state leader, it didn't sit well with me or my voters. And so now this administration is allowing our states to set their priorities. And what we are seeing states do is be real honest with their families and saying, our students aren't performing at the level that we want them to perform, and we're going to need your help to do this. And the federal government is now giving us the authority to do what we need to do, spend the money the way that we need to spend it, and they are here to help us reach our goals. The federal government in this administration is not taking the lead anymore, and we are supporting state priorities. And so real, you know, shout out to Superintendent Hedlund for her team and her team's work setting those priorities and asking this administration for more flexibility, running with that. I think a big important part of that is to ensure that we are bringing families and parents along with us and ensuring that families honestly know whether their child is ready for the next grade level. If they are a third grader, if they're going to be in fourth grade, are they going to be able to read on grade level? We call it the honesty gap, and we've got to get better about doing that.
Kirsten, we're up against our break here, and just want to say thank you. We have just a very short time with you. We deeply appreciate you spending the time with us. We know how busy you are, and all of our listeners say thank you for being with us today. We appreciate it, ma'am.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being with both of you, and I look forward to the next conversation. Thank you for the support that you give your public education system and your education system in whole, all top to bottom, from, you know, home education down to private education and including public education. Sincerely appreciate you.
Thank you very much. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hey, if you're waking up.
Patchy smoke pretty much all day Thursday. If we get enough sun, highs will likely top 90 and could reach the mid-90s in some locations. Calm winds won't do much to clear out the haze. Repeat that forecast, perhaps with a little less smoke on Friday, before an incoming disturbance brings increasing clouds in the late afternoon and evening Friday, overnight lows in the 50s. Mostly cloudy Saturday with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. A cold front pushing highs back into the low 80s on Sunday with sun lasting into the new week. That's your Town Square forecast.
Smiles are powerful. A simple smile can light up a whole room. And for 25 years, Smile Train has been lighting up the world with smiles. And each smile marks a step towards a brighter future. As the world's largest cleft lip and palate charity, Smile Train has supported more than 2 million life-changing cleft surgeries in over 90 countries, leaving a legacy of resilience, joy, and beaming smiles for generations of children. To learn more about cleft lips and palates and how Smile Train is supporting the cleft community all over the world, please visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, lighting up the world with smiles for 25 years.
75 years of research.
75 years of policy.
75 years of opportunity.
75 years of freedom.
This is 75 years of the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
Join us at mda75.org.
It's the Thursday edition of Talk Back. I'm Peter Christian, Mr. Nick Christensen over there taking your phone calls, and we already have Ed on the line. It's open phones from now until 9 o'clock. Ed, good morning, sir. What's on your mind, please?
Well, a couple things. Last week, I really enjoyed Lynn's call. I haven't had a call from Lynn in a long time, and it seems, anyway. And it was good to hear his voice. Okay.
Absolutely.
Another thing is that Fox News Online appears to be running stories with headlines that are not positive to Trump. For instance, here's one. Trump's two terms add staggering sum to America's tab. Now, I swear a few months ago you wouldn't see a headline like that, but I'm getting more and more non-positive headlines for Trump, and I wonder if there's something behind this.
Well, but perhaps the honeymoon is over, right?
Maybe so. You know, you can't argue with the numbers. That's for sure. Okay, and another thing. If you have a chance, look up the story on the driveway to the White House. Trump had a get-together, and the old driveway was asphalt. Oh, no, it was asphalt. And he replaced that with marble, okay? They have a marble driveway now.
I'm looking at it. It says a California mined white granite driveway.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. He went on and on about this thing and that only he could do it. And then the flagpoles. Okay, he donated 2 flagpoles, and they weren't straight. They were tapered. They got to be tapered. He demanded that they not be straight poles. Okay, I'm beginning to think this guy's crazy. Okay, he's nuts. And
well, he definitely has his own tastes and ideas on things. And you know, when you're the president of the United States, people kind of have to do what you ask them to do.
Well, I think he's crazy, and he has the nuclear football within arm's reach. It makes me wonder a little bit how secure we really are. Okay, that's all I wanted to say. But hey, Lynn, call back in. Like to hear the sound of your voice.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, sir. All right, so that leaves, we have open phones all the way till 9 o'clock this morning, ladies and gentlemen. So if there's something on your mind, you guys are never shy about open phones. So please feel free, fill up the phone lines, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. So go ahead, Nick, please.
Yeah, I have some more fire updates, in lieu of calls. Firefighters are still working on the north edge of the Bobcat Lakes fire to the north and chipping trees and brush along the Pioneer Scenic Byway. That fire is now at 40% contained. The Beaverhead County Sheriff lifted evacuation orders Tuesday for residents near the Bobcat fire, including Moose Creek and Sugarloaf Hill. Jerked Prairie remains on a, quote, set, end quote, alert. And the sheriff's office is reminding people the scenic byway remains firmly closed and probably will be for the next couple of weeks. Elsewhere on fire lines, DNRC crews have been able to slow that new Cherry Peak fire burning out on the high ridge lines west of Plains. It's still at 121 acres and grew a little since it was spotted Wednesday afternoon. The Moose Fire west of Phillipsburg is now mapped at just under 6,000 acres. Containment there is remaining at around 6%. On the east side, crews have been able to get 80% containment on the Sarpy Fire, burning in the open country east of Hardin.
Wow.
And then a new blaze, the Windmill Fire, burning on private land north of Reed Point, started yesterday, and it made a big run from 50 acres to 1,000. But the state says no structures are threatened in that one.
All right, so we have calls coming in. We're going to get to those here in just a moment. And it is open phones from now until 9 o'clock. So if there's something on your mind you want to talk about, that's what open phones is all about. We'd love to hear from you at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And Nick is getting those calls taken care of now. And of course, we're going to take a quick commercial break before we get to those calls, and we'd love to hear from you. Again, coming up at 9 o'clock this morning, we'll be visiting with Art Wittick. He's the chair of the Montana Republican Party. And so we're looking forward to visiting with him and, of course, taking your comments and calls for Art. And we do appreciate that. And coming up here in just a minute, we have Jerry and Dave. And we'll get their calls on as well as several other phone lines that are open. So if there's something you'd like to add to open phones, now's the time to pick up the phone. Give us a call, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Talkback continues statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
You've just had a...
The Thursday, August 20th edition of Talkback continues, and let's get to open phones. Folks are lined up. Jerry, good morning. You're up first. What's on your mind, please?
Yes, this is Jerry Ballas. Am I on the line?
Yes, Jerry, you're on. Go ahead, please, sir.
Hey, I want to make a comment about the upcoming parking for people that want to go to that Grizzly night game. I live across the street from the South Campus parking lot, and that parking lot is 90% full right now from bringing students because they closed the parking lot where the food and housing was. So I'm wondering what the university's plan is for all the people that used to go to that lot, catch a bus, and go to the stadium and park. And there is no parking available at the South Campus that I can see. Also, I'd like to ask a question about the practice bubble. Every time I drive by there for the last month, it's been on the ground. I've heard absolutely nobody say anything about the progress of getting that practice bubble back in use. So maybe you can help me. Jerry Ballas. Thank you for letting me voice.
Jerry, thank you for the call. I've also been concerned about the that remarkable structure that was over on the field at the University of Montana. And I understand that there were some technical difficulties, and I'm not sure if it's in the process of being repaired or if they know anything about it. So I'm concerned about it as well. So let's get
It's just been laying on the ground. It's just been laying on the ground ever since they had that windstorm. So, and, you know, Grizzly sports people help pay for that. They just got to wonder what they're doing in this hot weather.
Good question.
So thank you.
Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. Dave is up next. Dave, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I also would like to see the bubble inflated or something replacing it. But deficits seem to be a big issue today, so I thought I'd give some numbers out there. From what I've heard, that Donald Trump, during his administration, 20% of the deficit that we have accumulated happened during his time in office. Furthermore, that his big, beautiful bill added $1 trillion to the deficit. Now, we have a problem there, and I don't believe tax cuts is going to fix it. I think tax cuts are not the solution. And if you're talking about reducing government spending, tell us what you want to reduce. What government programs do you want to eliminate? And because all of them have their supporters. So I'm curious to know how, 19% of all the dollars we send into government go for paying for the debt.
Wow.
And that's climbing, especially if interest rates go up.
Now,
so it's a big problem.
Yeah, yes, it certainly is, especially when you consider our overall national debt has now been increased up to $41 trillion. So,
yeah, it's scary how much it's growing every day. And I'd like to know how our politicians are going to deal with that issue.
Well, it's a good question. I wish I had the answer, but thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Jeff is next. Jeff, good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead. It's open phones.
Hey, good morning. Just a couple of things real quick. First of all, I don't understand some people's unwillingness to have elegance. Thanks for correcting the marble to granite. The White House is an iconic part of our heritage. It's where our president lives. It's as important as the Capitol. And put a good driveway in doesn't seem to be unreasonable to me. And regarding tapered flagpoles, all good flagpoles are tapered. The cheap ones are straight because they're easier to make a tube than it is a taper. But the good ones are wider at the bottom than they are at the top because it gives them more strength, more wind resistance.
Exactly.
They don't sway as much in the wind.
It's more better stability. Yeah, engineering wise, it's more stable.
Right, it lasts longer, and so it's a quality, concern, a quality issue. That's what President Trump has done, is an increased quality to the whole thing. So that's just. I don't understand it. And in regards to decreasing government size, folks don't realize it's not necessarily programs you're after, it's people. If you cut bodies, when they went after the USAID, yes, they cut a bunch of programs. They reinstated a bunch of that, by the way, afterwards.
Yeah.
Folks don't realize.
I heard about that, yeah.
That a lot of the programs that were good got reinstated under the State Department.
Sure.
But they got rid of the nonsense people in the USAID. And each government employee costs probably between $200,000 and $250,000, depending on salary and benefits. So you cut four people, you're cutting $1 million. You cut 4,000 people, you're cutting $1 billion. Pretty soon you're starting to talk real money. So that's where the decrease is in people, not necessarily programs. But I don't have a problem cutting programs at all. So anyway, my 2/100ths of a dollar's worth
All right. Well, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. We have time to get one more call in before?
We'll try, yeah.
Okay, let's get Tony on. Tony, we've got about a little less than a little more than a minute. Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to say that I agree with this fellow Dave. And as far as the liberals, they have the shortest memory in history. First of all, look at how inflation was under Biden. The money was just being spent for no reasons at all. And to better make our capital look a little better, which will not benefit the president because he'll be out in 2 years, it's going to benefit everybody that goes into the presidency.
Right.
And, you know, it's just ridiculous. And as far as the nuclear bomb package, look who had it before under Biden. We don't even know who carried the package because Biden was out of it. He didn't know anything.
Yeah.
It that was happening. So liberals have a short memory. Thank you.
Bet. That was called the football, by the way. That's the official name that the gentleman, the military gentleman who followed the president around everywhere, the briefcase was called the football. So anyway, we're going to come right back. Well, Susan is waiting on the phone, and open phones continues for another 8 minutes or so. And then we'll have Art Wittick on the phone with us. So stay with us here on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Now, I'm this is our shared heritage, but today we're divided, except for our love of wildlife and wild places they and we call home. We are closer than you think. Learn more at defenders.org.
You've been diagnosed with COPD, but breathing is getting harder. Everyday activities take more effort, and life feels smaller. Is this you? If your COPD is getting worse, there are options to help you breathe easier. Learn more at isthisyoucopd.org.
Talk back continues, and it's open phones for another 8 minutes or so, and let's get Susan on the line. Susan, good morning. You're on Talk Back. Go ahead, please.
Hey, sir. This is I'm calling because there were several things I wanted to comment, but I don't have time. I'm just going to tell you that today I am with the Daughters of the American Revolution. And, you know, American flags, voter registrations, and Pledge of Allegiance cards, a story of the American flag to newly minted American citizens. And this happens about 3 months. And I'm honored to be a part of the naturalization ceremony that takes place. And what is so impressive to me about these people is how much they love America and how much they appreciate what's going on and what freedoms we have. And it is a ceremony at the federal courthouse. There is not enough room for the general public to come, although I would love to have somebody from KGVO show up and maybe talk to some of these citizens there.
I did that several years ago.
Yeah, well, I know you did. But it is a lovely service. It starts at 11 a.m. today. And the last one for the year is going to be in October. But I'm the coordinator for the DAR doing their bit. And, of course, our group, all of us have to be descendants from people that fought in the American Revolution. So that is why we're called the Daughters of the American Revolution.
Right.
But it is a wonderful service. And I will post on Facebook some of the pictures I take today. But I hope, Peter, I don't know if you or Dennis are available, but it's lovely.
Susan, thanks for the call. Thanks for reminding us of that very important ceremony. We appreciate it, ma'am. All right, Arnie is waiting. Arnie, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, that guy was talking about Trump on the trillions of dollars that were
build our country back up. He needs to go back to a Biden on there where they gave $2 trillion out and nobody knows where it went. And all these people got it, and we don't even know where it went. But they don't never mention that, them liberals. They just, you know, blaming Trump for everything. They're blaming him for the fires out here west. I mean, these people have lost it. Anyway, thank you.
All right, thank you for the call. The phone lines are open. If there's something, we have a little less than 3 minutes, Nick. So go ahead, please.
Yeah, sure. I could share another story.
Please do.
A state district court judge is clearing the way for two Republican legislative candidates to remain on the November ballot, according to reporting from the Daily Montanan. Lewis and Clark County District Judge Christopher Abbott granted a preliminary injunction halting a recent legal opinion from Attorney General Austin Knutson. Knutson's opinion had established stricter term limits that would have disqualified Conrad Representative Lewell Jones and Great Falls Representative Steve Fitzpatrick. Judge Abbott ruled that Montana voters never intended to force lawmakers out of public service entirely before switching chambers, noting the original intent ensures legislators do not serve more than 8 years in a single house over a 16-year span. The ruling arrived just ahead of the state's ballot certification deadline, and the Attorney General's office says it does plan to appeal the decision to the Montana Supreme Court. So we'll watch that a little closer.
You bet. In that vein, our guest in the 9 o'clock hour is Art Wittig. And he's the only Republican senator from Missoula County, which is, I think, is interesting. But we're going to be talking with him about what's going on with the upcoming legislative session and get his thoughts. And, of course, perhaps even more importantly, taking your phone calls at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. He was a member of the Montana legislature in the Montana Senate in the 2011 and 2013 sessions. From Senate District 35, and then the Montana House in the 2015 session from House District 68. And by the way, Wittig has replaced Don Kaltschmidt, who has been on the show many, many times as the chair of the Montana Republican Party. So now Art Wittig calls himself the Happy Warrior. So we're looking forward to talking with Art and taking your phone calls as well.
Yeah, and Art's been the chair for a while now,
yeah,
obviously.
That's true.
Yeah, so
a couple of years.
Yeah, so it'll be great to have Art on. Another quick story that we didn't talk about last week. Quick action by a bystander helped save a man's life following a dramatic rescue in Glacier National Park.
Wow.
The man fell from an overlook into McDonald Creek and was swept over a set of waterfalls. A nearby witness spotted him face down in the water,
wow,
pulled him to a shallow area, began CPR, and they actually restored his pulse. Helicopter crews stabilized and hoisted the man from the creek before transferring him to an alert medical helicopter for transport to the hospital. So that was a crazy story that we didn't get to talk about last week that I just wanted to mention.
You bet. And so a lot of brave folks out there in the Glacier Park, especially with the folks who do the helicopter rescues. It is very, very dangerous, and they put their lives at risk, and they're deeply appreciated by all the folks whose lives have been saved because of their courage. So anyway, we're going to take a break here at the top of the hour, and Art Wittig will be joining us, chair of the Montana Republican Party. He'll be on with us from 9 to 10 right here, Montana Talks Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Good morning, everyone. It's hour number two of Talk Back for this Thursday, August the 20th. I am Peter Christian, Mr. Nick Christensen over there taking your phone calls, and we are eagerly awaiting a call from Art Wittig, chair of the Montana Republican Party, scheduled to be with us from 9 until 10. Tell us what the state of the Montana Republican Party is at this moment, but we're still waiting for his call to come in, so.
Yes, we are. I have reached out, and hopefully we'll get a call here. Oh, there he is.
There Hold he on. Is. All right, good deal. Speak, and he shall appear. There you go. Again, we're looking forward to talking with Art. He's got a lot of experience in Montana politics, and we really appreciate it whenever he's on the phone with us. So we'll be hooking up here with Art here in just a moment, who, of course, is chair of the Montana Republican Party. And a very, very big job. It used to be Don Kaltschmidt, who was the chair. We had him on many, many times over the past several years. But Art is the chair right now of the Montana Republican Party. Art, good morning, sir, and welcome. How are you?
Good morning, Peter. For some reason, I had you down for 9:30, so I apologize for calling in late.
That's all right. We've got you now, and we're looking forward to hearing from you. So, if you wouldn't mind sharing with our audience, especially we're on statewide now, tell us a little bit about Art Wittig and about your history with Montana politics and the fact that you have become chair of the Montana Republican Party now.
Wow, do we have enough time, Peter? I don't know.
You bet. Go ahead.
You know, I went to law school in Missoula in the 80s and eventually met a guy named Stan Stevens who decided to run for governor. And when he became governor, there weren't that many Republican lawyers. And we were talking, he needed some help at the governor's office. So I got involved with state government at that time and helped him with a variety of things. Including environmental issues. And then after that, I went and worked back in D.C., came back, opened up a practice in Bozeman, and started getting more involved with local Republican politics. And next thing you know, they wanted me to run in 2006 for a state Senate seat. And so it was a tough district, internal Bozeman district, central Bozeman district. And did not win, but decided to run again in 2010 with their support and won, and pretty soon became Senate Majority Leader. And it was an eye-opening experience to be in Helena back during that time period. That was when Barack Obama won and the Tea Party started becoming more popular. And then after that, left and continued the practice. And actually, the grassroots Republicans wanted me to get involved with the Republican National Committee as Montana's committee man. So I did that for 8 years and thought I was done, Peter. started enjoying books and music a lot more. And next thing you know, I was recruited to become chair and have now done that a year. And my term ends next June.
All right. We are privileged to have with us Art Wittig joining us on the phone, the chair of the Montana Republican Party. And phone calls are already coming in for you. So, but we're going to take a quick break here, and we would love to have you to call and visit with a representative of Montana, who's also chair of the Montana Republican Party. Art Wittig is joining us. So we're going to come right back. Our number, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And I. We're looking forward to having the entire hour with Art, and of course, sharing him with you on the phone and finding out what he's going to be up to, especially in the upcoming session. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
If your business or
Patchy smoke pretty much all day Thursday. If we get enough sun, highs will likely top 90 and could reach the mid-90s in some locations. Calm winds won't do much to clear out the haze. Repeat that forecast, perhaps with a little less smoke on Friday, before an incoming disturbance brings increasing clouds in the late afternoon and evening Friday, overnight lows in the 50s. Mostly cloudy Saturday with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. A cold front pushing highs back into the low 80s on Sunday with sun lasting into the new week. That's your Town Square forecast.
It's the Thursday edition of Talk Back. And we're thrilled to have you with us this morning. I'm Peter Christian. Nick Christensen also taking your phone calls, producing Talk Back this morning. And we do have Art Wittick on the phone with us right now. Art, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you, Peter?
Doing fantastic.
Is it smoky there?
It is. It's very smoky. That seems to be the, you know, we have summer, we have snow and smoke are the two seasons, I guess, we have, right?
Oh, company and construction. You got to throw that in there, too.
Absolutely. All right. So Art, you're chair of the Montana Republican Party, and I wanted to give you this first segment just to talk about the things that you're doing. And, of course, a legislative session is coming up, and we'll find out what your plans are and how the Montana Republican Party is going to go forward.
Sure. Well, the court system has been active this last week concerning a couple of those legislative seats. There was a request made by the Attorney General to look at what the term limits provision of the Montana Constitution really means. And, you know, we've had three different attorney generals with three different opinions. Attorney General Knudsen looked at it again, revisited it, and said that then Attorney General Bullock's opinion that essentially allowed for perpetual legislative service was not proper. Attorney General Mazurek, there's a name that goes back, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Joe Mazurek, right?
He agreed. Yeah, he agreed. You know, when Montanans passed this in the mid-90s, most people, I think, thought that 16 years was enough. You could serve 8 years in the House and 8 years in the Senate.
Right.
And that's what Attorney General Mazurek said. It was plain language. So next thing you know, there are some Democrat legislators who want to continue serving over 16 years. They asked the then Democrat Attorney General Steve Bullock to give an opinion, and he comes up with a word salad that, you know, says, no, you can serve more than based on pulling a couple of words out of the Constitution. So now we have the situation where, you know, it used to be a citizen legislature, and now we have this professional politician group who some of these people have served way over 16 years. And, you know, people have wondered what is, you know, is the Constitution being followed? So anyway, this attorney general opinion came out, said that 16 means 16. A couple of legislators who want to keep in the process, stay in the process, have sued. There's been a lot of activity in the courtrooms of Montana here in the last few days. So we've been watching that carefully because it will determine the makeup of the legislature. We've also been, you know, this is campaign season, right?
Right.
So It's only going to be about 6 weeks until people start voting. So we've been working on a lot of races that are tight, both in the legislature and in the federal side, because we want to make sure that even though this can be a low turnout year because it's in between the presidential cycles, right? It's also in between the state of Montana's four-year state office cycles. It's still a very important time for people to come out and have their voice heard. So there are a number of races that will be very, very important here in November. And so we're working hard to inform people about those races and make sure they get out to vote.
I would imagine that property taxes are an absolutely huge, topic coming into the upcoming session, because I know as a homeowner in Missoula, my property taxes have gone up exponentially, and people keep telling me, well, gosh, if we just passed a sales tax, maybe those maybe those property taxes would go down, and I begin to laugh uproariously, just like you did, and said, we just have two taxes then instead of just one.
Yeah, we just need to raise taxes to lower taxes, Peter. Don't you understand that? No, you know, it's a mess. It's really a mess. And I think people are now just starting to see how big of a mess it is, because when they passed it, and there are people that are just arguing with us
hey, we did a good job. We reduced taxes for some people. But they ignore the fact that taxes are still going up for everybody, and they shifted a huge tax burden to other people. Anybody who had a second piece of property or a commercial property are paying a lot more. And here's the thing that's really, I think, people are missing. Everywhere in the country, property tax was flat, meaning you paid one percentage based on the value of your property. If you had high value property, you paid more, but it was the same percentage. What Montana did a couple years ago, and I have to admit, it was done with some Republican help. They created a progressive tax, a progressive property tax, which is how our income tax system is. The more income you have, the higher percentage you pay, right? So all of a sudden, they turned our property tax system, made it very unique and made it progressive. And it's a really bad idea. And we have to fix that in the next session. And the party is very interested in doing that. And frankly, you know, even though we have a few Republicans who have been trying to defend what they did, all you have to do is run the tape and look right after the session when the Democrat legislative leader got up and said, this is the best session we've ever had. Now, these Democrats, they only have like, you know, 45% of the seats, 40% right. of the seats. For them to stand up and say it was the best session they ever had, that's a breakdown of the system. And, you know, the Republican brand is about lower taxes. Mm. It's not about shifting taxes. It's not about raising taxes. So we're going to get back to some first principles, I hope, in this next session.
Well, Art.
And yeah,
we are seconds away from a break, but I want to let you know that Al and Nancy are both waiting to visit with you. And, of course, Art's going to be with us all the way till 10 o'clock this morning. So if you have a question or a comment, phone lines are open at 406-721-1290, 1-800-568-5309. We'll be back with more of Talk Back after this quick timeout on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. Missoula County joining the Bitterroot National Forest, taking fire restrictions back down to stage one after the cooler weather and showers the past few days. Among the Beaverhead County residents thanking firefighters working the Big Sand Creek fire is State Auditor and Insurance Commissioner James Brown, who has long family ties in that part of the Grasshopper Valley.
Yeah, I'm very pleased because my grandfather built the Elkhorn Lodge and Hot Springs and the original cabins, and so you can imagine it was pretty devastating for me as a personal matter to watch that fire come down and then burn around it. But kudos to the firefighters on saving that structure. And then, of course, Maverick Mountain, our local hill, got a little bit burned up, but should survive. And the important thing, as you stated, the fire didn't get down in the valley. And as you know, my great-grandfather homesteaded up there at Polaris, and the cousins still have the ranch right there on the south end of the valley.
Brown appearing on the TalkBack program this week. A state district court judge clearing the way for two Republican lawmakers to be on the ballot. According to reporting from the Daily Montanan, Lewis and Clark County District Court Judge Christopher Abbott granting a preliminary injunction halting a recent legal opinion from Attorney General Austin Knutson. Knutson's opinion would have established stricter term limits that would have disqualified Conrad Representative Lou Jones and Great Falls Representative Steve Fitzpatrick. Knutson is going to appeal to the Supreme Court. If you're selling a home in Montana, you might want to look at a little bit different home buyer.
Montana ranks 29th in the nation for the share of prospective home buyers younger than the age of 35. A new study found young adults submitted 20% of the state's mortgage applications during the past year, representing more than 8,300 applications. Montana's typical home value stood at nearly $468,000 in April. Nationally, North Dakota ranked first, with buyers under 35 accounting for more than 28% of all mortgage applications. Tracy Taylor, Montana State News Network.
Hi, I'm Montana Highway Patrol Colonel Kurt Seger, encouraging you to stay safe on the road this summer. More fatalities occur on the road from Memorial Day to Labor Day. To ensure Montanans and our visitors get to and from their destination safely this summer, Montana Highway Patrol troopers will be increasing patrols. You can help. Never get behind the wheel intoxicated. Follow the speed limit and always buckle up. Together we can save lives. Sponsored by the Montana Department of Justice.
Are you ready to take back Montana's future? Americans for Prosperity is building a grassroots movement to restore Montana's prosperity. We're fighting to cut property taxes, expand school choice, and eliminate job-killing regulations. But we can't do it without you. Join us today. Take action. Knock on doors. Make calls. Influence lawmakers. Be a part of the movement that's putting power back in the hands of Montanans. Sign up now at AmericansForProsperity.org. Paid for by Americans for Prosperity.
Hey, we're back on Talk Back, and good to have everyone along this morning, especially Art Wittig, chair of the Montana Republican Party, joining us on the phone this morning. And the phone lines are lighting up, so let's get right to it and say good morning to Al. Al, good morning. You're on with Art Wittig. Art, good morning. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Mr. Wittig. I always love to hear your thoughts. In your job, you probably get complaints from A to Z. And my thought this morning, if you get any complaints from the Democrats about President Trump changing airplanes on the way back from the Mideast a week or two ago, just follow Senator Kennedy from Louisiana's thoughts. I thought he had a pretty good thought on that subject. This is what Senator Kennedy said. We have some presidents who like to change airplanes. And then we have some presidents who like to change women in the White House. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Thanks.
I don't know. Senator Kennedy can be very entertaining. I don't know that much about the issue. I just assume that there was a security issue and, you know, we pay security details to keep the president, no matter who it is, safe. And, you know, flying over to Turkey, that's not the most hospitable area of the world.
Right.
And so, you know, I just assumed that they had to do the things that they did. And you know, it's best to keep our officials safe. So,
well, let's put it this way.
I have to say about
in my opinion, it's above my pay grade. So let's go back. You bet. Let's get back to the phones. Say hello to Nancy. Nancy, you're on with Art Wittig. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, morning, Glory, and good morning, Art. You know, it was March 14th, 1883, when Karl Marx made his greatest contribution to mankind. He died at the age of 64. But sadly, his influence is still being heard and felt today with these people like AOC, who are members of the DSA, who want to give us free energy and free this and that. And we just heard the astonishing number that we are $40 trillion in debt. Now, I want to know what cutbacks, and I know this is an election year and no politician wants to talk about cutbacks, but we're going to have to. What cutbacks are the Republicans going to do and what are they talking about to help bring down this astronomical $40 trillion debt? Because if we don't get this under control, we're going to go into hyperinflation. And thank you, Art, and God bless you and God bless the Republicans and our country and freedom.
Art, thanks for the call, man. Go ahead, Art.
Yeah, thank you, Nancy. You know, we were just talking about that issue of Democrats now being openly socialist and many of their openly socialist candidates winning their primary. And part of this goes back to redistricting. You know, so many districts are either deep blue or deep red, both state legislative districts and federal congressional districts. And so you allow some of these far left movements to all of a sudden become mainstream in Congress, right? And so we have some openly socialist people. You know, a few years ago, if you would have called a Democrat a socialist, they would have been outraged. And I go back to, Peter, you asked me about my history. My first session in legislature was 2011. And one of the big issues was Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
I remember getting up on the Senate floor and using the word Obamacare, and people were outraged. How dare you use the word Obamacare? That's racist.
Oh,
and so much of my commentary, my debate had to be about a PACA. It was the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. And I said, you know, I don't think it's protecting patients, and I don't think it's going to lead to affordable care. But my point is, the words being used now, all of a sudden it's okay, it's acceptable for people to talk about socialism. And I don't think, to Nancy's point, I don't think people understand what an abject failure it's been all over the world or since its inception. You know, this idea that somehow people can and are entitled to everything that they may need from government, and therefore government can seize from other people anything that they need. You know, so what has it led to? It's led to guaranteed, it shifted parental obligations from parents to government. We have fatal to grave government benefits on so many things, right? And that doesn't mean to say we shouldn't have government helping people that are in need. But I think this also goes to Nancy's point about costs. When government starts occupying the field of everything that we do, you know, you just can't afford that. And we have this system. Frankly, it goes back to term limits. When you have a system that only people on the inside can understand, you lose your sense of common sense, and you lose that touchstone of people out there working hard to raise their family, mm-hmm. you know, pay their bills, and you know, those are the folks that are. While they may, some of them may be receiving benefits, a lot of people are being burdened. So more specifically, I think this effort, you know, we basically opened up health care under Obamacare for everybody. There's been abuse in that, right? There are contractors and providers that are abusing that system.
We are 10 seconds.
And we need to. And we need to address that fraud, and we can talk about it after the break.
You bet we will. We're going to come right back. Stay with us. Art Wittig joining us on the phone, chair of the Montana Republican Party. We're coming right back after this.
Smiles are powerful. A simple smile can light up a whole room. And for 25 years, Smile Train has been lighting up the world with smiles. And each smile marks a step towards a brighter future. As the world's largest cleft lip and palate charity, Smile Train has supported more than 2 million life-changing cleft surgeries in over 90 countries, leaving a legacy of resilience, joy, and beaming smiles for generations of children. To learn more about cleft lips and palates and how Smile Train is supporting the cleft community all over the world, please visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, lighting up the world with smiles for 25 years.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Loss of sight won't blind our vision. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
No matter who we call family, when we choose to get the flu shot, we're protecting them. That's especially true for those who are 65 and older and people with chronic conditions like heart disease, diabetes, or stroke. Getting a flu shot every year decreases your chances of getting the flu. If you do get the flu, the vaccine makes you less likely to be hospitalized or die from it. Protect yourself and the ones you love by getting your flu shot. Learn more at heart.org/flu.
Blowing out your birthday candles should be easy, but if you have undiagnosed COPD, you may find yourself short of breath. Early diagnosis and treatment can add years to your life. If you have symptoms like wheezing or chronic cough, talk to your doctor and visit copdfoundation.org today.
It's the Thursday, August 20th edition of Talk Back, and we're privileged to have with us Art Wittig on the phone, chair of the Montana Republican Party. And Art, we had to go into the break quickly. You had some things you wanted to say before we get to some calls.
Yeah, I was just finishing up with Nancy's question about spending and right. How do we curb spending. So much of the federal budget is called non-discretionary. It's an entitlement, and it's only a very small percentage is discretionary. So you really have to look at those entitlement programs to address, spending restraint. And, you know, anything dealing with welfare, which also now includes health care, right? You have to look at where the money is being spent. And frankly, there are a lot of people getting rich. Instead of serving folks in need, there are a lot of providers and contractors and whatever, because government doesn't employ people to do all that work. So they contract with other people. And there are a lot of those folks that have abused the system. You've seen some bad cases in Minnesota and this recent LA mayor race, and they started looking into, where government is spending money. And you find that, you know, supposedly public service contractors, some of them get really wealthy. And so that's not how the system was meant to be. So obviously there's some fraud and abuse going on. Is it enough to address Nancy's concern about really trimming the budget? I don't know, but I think it's a start. And then frankly, the Congress needs to go into regular order and do budgeting again. You know, it seems like there hasn't been enough of that. Seems like, you know, they at the last minute they put together a budget and they get it passed with the threat of a shutdown if they don't pass it, right? So I think some regular order in Congress would help, but it's tough. You know, I mean, people, they keep adding government programs and government programs, and we're spending a lot of money, and it's a tough situation.
You bet. Let's get another call on before we take a break. Mark, good morning. You're on with Art Wittig. Go ahead, please, sir.
Hello.
Hello, Art. You're on. I'm sorry. You're on with Art Wittig. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hello, Art. I'm glad you're on with Peter there, and I'm got a question regarding the property taxes you were discussing a few minutes ago. And everybody seems to be downplaying or is anti-sales tax. And I want to disagree in the fact that property tax is like a penalty tax, where sales tax is a consumption tax. And we have such a negative vibe in the legislature for so many years about sales tax, but there's got to be a way that it could be structured that is some kind of an amendment that it replaces property tax, and it can't be raised to say we started 4% and it's 4% forever unless there's a constitutional amendment to change that to any higher rate or anything else. Because if this state, like the accountant that was on the other day was being interviewed on the show, I think his name was Walt Carroll.
Right.
Said that, you know, we have now become more of a tourist state, tourist industry state more than ever, and we're missing all that income from the tourists that are here using our services, And then we're paying for all that for everybody else, in addition to ourselves, of course. But I think that's something that really needs to be reexamined and figure out a way to make that work so we can reduce or eliminate our property taxes, at least on our residences, of the people that are feeling like they can't live in their home anymore because the property taxes become excessive. Thanks for your consideration on that question, and I'd like to hear your thoughts.
And Art, I'll tell you what, we're a minute away from a break. I want to give you the opportunity to give a full answer to that question. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll have you address that. And, of course, we also have Harry and Gary, who are both waiting to visit with you. Our guest on the phone, by the way, is Art Wittig. He's chair of the Montana Republican Party. It's a big job, and he is doing his best to try to, especially as we're getting ready for the next legislative session at the start of the new year. So we're looking forward to getting your phone calls. If you have a question for Art Wittig, feel free to get in the queue. The number is 406-721-1290, or you can call 1-800-568-5309. And once again, we are excited to share the fact that TalkBack is now statewide. All over the state of Montana, so many different stations now on the Montana Talks Radio Network. And with that, we'll continue with Art Wittig when we come back right here on Talk Back. Thinking about building.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. So tell them today, I love you. Get screened. It could help save their life. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
All right, TalkBack is continuing now. And again, our special guest on the phone is Art Wittig, chair of the Montana Republican Party. And we have folks lined up to visit with you. But you wanted to finish your thought first. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I mean, Mark was talking about sales tax, and I think that is becoming more and more debated now. You know, when you look at Montana's history, we were industrial and agricultural. And there, it made sense not to have a sales tax. But as we shift, as our economy shifts to having more tourism, you look at all these other states that have tourism, and they really fund their government with sales tax. I think it's something that needs to be discussed. But people, just like people, once they get a benefit, they expect it. And that's why it's hard to cut those programs, right? But when people expect a burden, expect a tax burden, it's difficult for them to be willing to change from that expectation. Right now, people can go in, buy groceries, buy a car, you know, buy clothes, and not have to pay a sales tax. And so people are very hesitant to change that.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, I do think that having the discussion is important, especially when you see these other taxes going up. And, you know, each state typically has that three-legged stool. You have property tax, sales tax, and some type of, you know, business tax. And by not having the three legs, you know, it puts a lot of pressure on the others. But I think that, you know, there has to be some way to capture, you know, to capture these people that are passing through. We do have a rental car tax, and we have a lodging tax, but so much of that goes to just tourism marketing and getting more tourists, right? It doesn't really address the costs that are being that we have with tourism. So and we have to balance it with so many of our businesses now serving tourism. They need tourism. So I think Mark's I think it's going to be easier and easier as time goes on for us to understand that our economy is shifting and changing, and we need to address that sales tax issue.
You bet. Let's get Harry on the phone. Harry, good morning. You're on with Art Wittig. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Art. Yeah, several things, just real quick. Just comment on, don't blame Obamacare for making health care for everybody. Blame that on Reagan. He's the one who signed the law saying that hospitals can't deny people health services without for not being able to pay. But also, talk about, you know, the I don't agree a lot with what the governor has or the legislature has done, but on the property tax, I can't deny that they cut taxes for like 80-some% of the people. So, I mean, hey, I mean, I know it's terrible that somebody with a second house might have to pay more on it, but if they got a second house, they're probably not doing too bad. And also, I don't like parties. I wish parties would go away. But I like what you're doing, where you're narrowing the who can claim to be Republican. You keep making that tent a little smaller. You know, keep taking people out of there. That's a great idea. Keep that up.
Okay, Harry, thanks for the call. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think we're making it smaller. I think that we're making a stronger tent. When you have people inside your tent working against it, taking your poles out and your guy wires out, you're making it weaker. And so I disagree with Harry on that. And as far as this property tax thing, you know, there's a lot of spinning going on. And when you're explaining, you're losing. If you wanted to do a poll of people in Montana, and if you want us, if you say, hey, how many of you think your property taxes have gone down? I can guarantee you 80% of the people aren't going to say that yes. It just, people don't feel that that reduction if they received it. So I think that's a spin. You know, we can do better, and it's not just about, you know, protecting second home people. So,
all right, you bet. Let's get Gary on the phone. Gary, you're on with Art Wittig. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Ron, Peter, Art, thank you for taking my call. My point is that how do you change a system that's like a runaway train? As I talked with James Brown on the talk show, there's 47 states have sales tax and local option taxes. There are 9 communities in Montana that have resort taxes. So when it comes up about a sales tax, they say, well, we don't want that. Well, if people would understand, how do these other states operate by taxing and not taxing you on your Social Security like me and others? It's very frustrating. I lost my house because I couldn't pay the taxes, and I went through a divorce at the same time. Sometimes it's like people don't understand it's a tax that people don't even know they're being taxed on alcohol, cigarettes, and whatever. It's a way of life, and you cannot own your own home because of the taxes. You can pay all your life like I did, and I lost it because I was not in income to keep my house and a divorce at the same time.
Wow.
So legislators have got to look at, if you put a 5% sales tax in and eliminate your property tax, you would have so much more money to spend on choices that you choose to buy. You buy, it's over. So, Art, I know you got a difficult job, but I feel like it's, your guys go up there, and you can't go up there and argue if I'm a Democrat or Republican. You send people up there, and all they do is want to fight. So thank you, Art, for trying to explain to us, and that you need to explain to the people why it's necessary to have another source of income to fund our beautiful state. You won't have sales tax, but you're sure tax old people. Thank you, Art.
All right. Thanks for the call. And when we come back, we have less than 30 seconds, Art, so I want you to be able to give a full answer to that, because I know you've got a lot to say about that. And we will do that when we come back from the break. And we also have John, Tim, Jim, and another John all waiting to visit with you all in the next 10 minutes. So we're going to come right back with more of Talk Back with Art Wittig, chair of the Montana Republican Party. We'll be back right here on Talk Back statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
TalkBackers.
Wounded Warrior Project helps post 9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible. With support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we. Because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Hey, we're coming up on the final segment of our time together on Talk Back with Art Wittig, chair of the Montana Republican Party. And Art, from the last call, did you have any other thoughts before we could take another call?
Yeah, I mean, I think Gary's concern is real. People should be able to own their home, and it's not them renting their home and then having a situation where the taxes outstrip their income. It's happening in many places in Montana, especially the high growth places, which then they leave the high growth places, go to the low growth places, drive up the real estate values in the low growth places, which then drives up their taxes. So Gary's concern is real. I do think that, you know, by and large, Republicans are tighter with spending than Democrats. And we acknowledge that. But I think, you know, you also have to look at the local government spending side. So many of these taxes fund local government. Right. And the local governments are growing faster than population, faster than inflation, faster than, you know, income growth. So that needs to be addressed as well. I understand Gary's concerns. It's bad.
You bet. Let's get John on the line. John, good morning. You're on with Art Wittig. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is John. Art, how are you doing?
Good.
Excellent. Hey, as former chair of appropriations in 2007, our budget was $7.5 billion. Now it's $16.6 billion and moving forward in less than 20 years. So the fact is, no matter what, government's going to grow. You look at the local, it's going to grow. And the local individuals, voters do not understand, oh, every time you vote for a mill levy or allow vote for individuals that are going to increase the budget within the local government, that will all go directly to your property taxes, period. And if you want to control property taxes, I think you need to become, most people need to become better, more informed voters, and then reduce the amount of services the government is allegedly doing for certain demographics of populations within those cities. However, I had a very off subject is the fact that, what do you think of the judge in regards to turning down the attorney general's opinion in regards to term limits, which one of the individuals has been there when I was in the legislature? And secondly, were you aware that the Montana Supreme Court just authorized Montana Legal Services Association out of Helena, a private organization, to authorize lay individuals that are not attorneys to represent their clients, which again is a small demographic, and it's only for their client, Montana Legal Services clients, to represent them in protection, orders of protection, tenant landlord issues, as well as debt collection issues, and only in justice court. So they've literally upended the whole legal system in the state of Montana. Wow. And they did that by a 7-vote. And those judges last year, the Montana Supreme Court paid Montana Legal Services over $800,000 for some services rendered to that private organization.
We are literally 2 minutes away from being done with our time together with Art. So Art, if you could address that real quickly, please.
Yeah, I had not heard about that. You know, the lawyer industry is obviously shifting left as more social justice warriors become involved. I would think that many lawyers would be upset about allowing people who are not members of the bar to appear in a court. But, you know, I do think that
John hit something nail on the head, and that is local governments are a big piece of the spending question, and people need to get more involved with these local races, city government and county government races, because they spend an awful lot of money. It's not just the state and it's not just the federal government.
So in the last minute and a half we have, the floor is yours. Is there anything special you'd like to share with our listeners from your perspective?
Well, I think the hour went quick, Peter.
I appreciate
you having me on. I do think that I wanted to talk a little bit about the Democrat Party and their what happened with their Senate candidates, and how you have this effort by national Democrats to basically take over Democrat Party, and you saw that with Alani Bankhead and Seth Bodner. You know, now there are two Democrats in that race, and one's being supported by national Democrats, but he won't admit that he's a Democrat. And then you have one who is strong in working with the local Democrats to run a race. That is worth, 15 minutes of talk at some point, and maybe next month we can talk about that. But that is a fascinating thing that's not only happening in Montana, but they've employed that independent scheme in now three other states, Nebraska, Idaho, and one other. So I think that's an interesting topic, and maybe next month we can do that.
You bet. Art, we're out of time. Thank you so much, sir. We appreciate it.
You bet.
Okay. Mr. Nick, thank you, sir. What's going on?
Tomorrow. From 8 to 9, we'll have Congressman Ryan Zinke in the studio. And then from 9 to 10, John Jackson will join us.
All right. There you go. And again, thanks again to Art Wittig for joining us. And thanks to all of you for your calls this morning on Talk Back. We appreciate it. Have yourselves a great day. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.